Welcome back, everyone. I'm Michael Ponzio, and welcome to Kitchen Coalition. This series is about chefs and operators coming together, sharing ideas, learning from one another. You know, innovation is about so much more than what we put on the plate. This is about us growing as an industry, and our industry is changing. With everything going on with COVID-19, you know, we're seeing chefs and operators change the way they think and look at new ideas for revenue and how we can kind of streamline things and capitalize and make up for this big deficit that we're all going through right now. Industry is definitely changing. It's scary times. We don't know what's coming up. We don't know how we're going to respond. We don't know what it's going to be like after this. You know, the other, on another show, we had a chef from Daisy's Restaurant, Joe Frillman, and he made a really great comment.
You know, like I said, we have a 60 seat dining room. People aren't, you know, the tables aren't 6 feet apart, I promise you. And so prior to this, we may do with the space that we have. And after this, I'm kind of curious to see how many people are willing to sit as close as they used to sit, no matter, you know, whether this is, you know, 3 months from now or 3 years from now. I'm curious to see what this does to the psyche of the diner and coming out in restaurant.
So let's look and talk about other ways that we could bring money in and other ways that we could run our business with the current things that we have. One thing we're going to talk about today is ghost kitchens. And if you're not familiar with ghost kitchens, it's a really great program and really cool. And there's a lot more out there than you can ever realize, hence the name Ghost. Anyways, ghost kitchens are taking an existing brick and mortar restaurant and building a whole bunch of other concepts inside there and using delivery services like Grubhub and DoorDash and things like that to actually market and sell your food out of there. And out of one building, I mean, you can have 200 different concepts rolling out. So we're going to talk about ghost kitchens and a great thing. We're going to talk to Phil Sidhu from Dinehive. Dinehive is a ghost kitchen company. Phil started it about a year or two ago, I think. He's got some great concepts all throughout Illinois and into some neighboring states. He's got a few different ways he does it. Some where he actually goes into the restaurant and builds a ghost kitchen alongside a business and works with them to actually partner up using their resources, everything. And another one where, you know, building an actual freestanding unit and running 20 different concepts out of there. So definitely the industry is going in the way of ghost kitchens and definitely it's going in the way of delivery. So we're going to talk about how we can capitalize on that, how we can join in and give any tips and things that Phil's learned along the way. Really great conversation coming up. I'm excited for you to talk to him. So here we go. All right. So we're here today with Phil Sidhu, owner of Dinehive. It's a ghost kitchen concept. Phil, how you doing today?
Great, Mike. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for coming. Listen, tell me a little bit about your concept.
Sure, yeah. So we create, develop, and market virtual concepts that can operate from within an existing restaurant. So I'll give you an example. Steakhouse, they may have some great on-premise dining, but maybe not a lot of delivery ordering. So we can create maybe a burger concept that would do really well in there. It'd be pretty easy for the steakhouse to execute given what they already have in-house for ingredients. And it's going to open them up to new customers, a new demographic that maybe they were priced out of ordering steak or people didn't want to let a steak travel for however long it would take to get to them. So a burger concept would open them up to more business and a whole new demographic of customers.
Awesome. So you're working within pre-existing restaurants mostly?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're bringing new revenue to those restaurants rather than building a separate kitchen that would be off-premise from their existing location.
Okay. I've seen that a lot with the whole going away from brick and mortars to building ghost kitchens, but also people using ghost kitchens to enhance their brand, as in run 2-3 concepts out of one place. So have you felt obviously an impact with everything going on with the COVID-19?
Sure. Yeah. It's been a little bit of a mixed reaction where some restaurants are considering shortening their hours or closing altogether because they're not seeing enough off-premise traffic during this time. I think while in the beginning, while everyone sort of hunkered down and stocked up on their food, you know, if they've, you know, bought a lot of groceries and they're sort of cooking at home, you're not going to see as much online ordering. But when people start to get tired of the same thing or they're looking to mix it up a little bit, I think you're going to see a much larger uptick in online ordering, even more so than we've already seen.
And for sure.
I've seen restaurants that want to get virtual concepts going as quickly as possible, just so they can increase the traffic and stay open for, you know, as long as they can justify it.
Yeah, it's survival of the fittest. You know, I always tell people, buy your toilet paper from restaurants. I mean, whatever they can sell you, they will right now, because it is so tight. And it's scary, and we don't know what's coming from the future with this.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Chicago now, and I know they pushed us back to an April 7th date for closure. But yeah, like you said, who knows if it's going to hold or if it's going to be extended even longer.
So what kind of hardship? How many ghost kitchen concepts do you have? Let's start there.
So we have three that are live and six in total. That we're either developing or getting live at our existing restaurant partners. We have three restaurants that we've partnered with currently, another dozen or so that we're in different processes of, you know, different stages of getting live with our virtual concepts. And we've tried to create sort of a core group of brands that are going to resonate with, you know, almost anywhere we go, but also it's going to be pretty easy to operate these brands out of almost any kitchen that you can think of. There's some customization and room for adjustments to be made on a case-by-case basis, but all in all, the brands that we have can be executed out of almost any kitchen in the country.
So have you been getting like a lot of calls from concepts and things, asking questions, stuff like that?
Yeah. They've, I mean, the biggest questions that we get are, you know, just they ask us to kind of take them through how this would work exactly. A lot of restaurants don't necessarily even offer their own online ordering right now. So
right. It's
still somewhat new. And I mean, it's still a small percentage of orders that come from third-party delivery companies as well. So it's still a newish space for a lot of restaurants. And another big question that we get is, you know, why can't I just do it myself? And that's probably the biggest question that we get. And the answer I usually give is like, there's nothing stopping from restaurants doing this themselves. And I usually encourage it if they're inclined to do it. What we're trying to do is like take this off their plate the same way third-party delivery companies took the burden of having to have your own delivery network and delivery drivers. And they just took that all and managed all that for them. Now you're seeing that sort of eat into restaurants' profits because so many orders are moving to off-premise into these third-party marketplaces. With us, we're focused more on leveraging the fixed costs that are already in the restaurant. So you know, you've already accounted for your labor, your rent, everything like that. Really, the only excess cost that comes with adding multiple concepts is going to be the extra food that you have to buy. So there's a much higher profit margin with virtual concepts because you already have the labor in-house, and it may be, most of the time it's underutilized where you have downtime during certain hours of the day, and it's just going to maximize that labor and that space that you have in the kitchen.
Well, and so, I mean, companies like DoorDash, for example, they cover the insurance for the drivers. They coordinate all that. They send you a tablet. It's pretty easy to operate within there. And the profit share makes sense. I know in the beginning, I want to say it's somewhere around 70-30 or some sort of a breakdown like that. But when you look at what it actually is, you don't have front of the house staff, you don't have a hostess there, you don't have, you know, it's to go, so you don't have to worry about as many dishwashers, you already have cooks in house, like you said, no busboys, no, it makes total sense. Why wouldn't you add something like this on, especially now with, you know, everything that's happening and as far behind as so many of these restaurants are becoming now.
Right, no, it does make sense. And I usually say that these companies are meant to be more of a marketing tool than they are to replace your entire delivery infrastructure. So you can still use their driver network through DoorDash or Postmates. They have open APIs that you can plug right into your website and just use their driver network and not have to hire any drivers. But on top of that, if a new customer is coming to you through DoorDash, through Grubhub, their repeat orders should be going directly through to you. So I always say, you know, the biggest thing you can do is just have the option of native online ordering on your website. You're going to see, you know, a drastic reduction in fees if you're going to have that option on your own, rather than paying 30% of an order, you may be paying 10 to 15% at most. And on top of that, you don't have to worry about your own drivers because you can still use their driver network or a local delivery service provider that you know, there's tons of options out there for that as well.
Sure.
You get a more personal experience if you're worried about relying on the independent contractors.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we're going to hold on for 1 second here. I want to mention Smithfield Culinary. Absolutely fantastic company. Smithfield's largest pork producer in the country. They have so many different products that we could work with. And if you're getting into the whole ghost kitchen game and you're looking for ways to do it, look at some of the Smithfield lines. I mean, they have Eckrich, John Morrell, Smithfield, all sorts of different brands. And a lot of these Carandos, a lot of these brands have some pre-prepared product that are pretty fantastic. I mean, Curly's Brisket, wonderful. There's some great cooked options out there. So if you're looking to build a concept inside your unit and you don't say have the prep manpower or the storage space to do all these different things and you don't want things to go bad, it may be time to look into some pre-prepped items, especially if you're running it under a brand that isn't your name and it's not your brand. So take a look, you know, if I'm doing a brisket nachos and I'm going to use some of this Curly's product, fantastic, so easy to use. Open the bag. It's got a smoked flavor. It's moist. It's tender. Check it out, smithfieldculinary.com. They also have a ton of great resources for chefs, innovation ideas, recipes, data and graphs on all sorts of things. So again, smithfieldculinary.com. Check it out. Fantastic. I think you're going to love it. Okay. I'm going to reintroduce you real quick just for anyone that hasn't picked up on it. This is Philip Sadu. Philip is an owner of a company that owns several ghost kitchens and helps restaurants also kind of work within their concepts to build these properties and these outlets as well. So Philip, now, you know, kind of looking at where we are with everything and what's going on with just the disease and the economy and all this, what's next? What do you see happening in the future? How are things going to change?
You know, if you haven't already, it's time to invest in the off-premise customer experience. I think this really accelerated what was already happening in the industry, which was from on-premise to off-premise. There's clearly a mixture of both, and you're seeing obviously the big chains investing in more off-premise technology and partnerships with third-party delivery companies. It's not going away, obviously, and you know this has only cemented it even more, I think. So, you know, if your restaurant is capable of doing it, then it's certainly an invaluable tool. You have to use. I mean, at this point, you have to use every bullet in the gun. I even saw that Alinea is offering to go options now, and that's something I know that I'm sure they never thought they'd be doing.
So. Yeah, that's kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
So what have you had to make any changes? Because your concept kind of fits into all the regulations of what, you know, everyone's saying to do, order delivery, don't go into places. I mean, have you had to adapt at all to with everything going on?
Yeah, the biggest adaptation has been just if we're already partnered with the restaurant or we were already talking with the restaurant, if they make changes to their operation, we have to make changes in unison with them because if they don't have staff there, they're not going to make their food or our food.
It's a good point.
Those are the biggest changes that we've seen. And just, you know, however we can help restaurants get started with this, it's almost become sort of like a consulting arm of the company where if a restaurant has questions or they just want to get started with delivery and see how it goes, we can get them started with that as well. So it's almost like a tiered system where if somebody's just dipping their toe in the water or if they want to go full force, we can do a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think now's the time everyone's diving in as quick as they can.
Yeah.
It's really cool to just see all these restaurants and concepts that you never would have thought would do delivery doing it now. And I mean, it's nice to see this kind of response from the community because, I mean, people are ordering left and right. And even on my block, we have kind of a thing where we go around and it's like, all right, hey guys, we're all ordering from this restaurant tonight. Why doesn't everyone pitch in and I'll pick up food for everyone that orders. And I'm going and picking up 6-7 carryout orders from this one restaurant just to support them.
Sure. Yeah.
It's great to see. It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen restaurants, like you said, toilet paper. I've seen restaurants pivoting to their dry goods if they have, you know, boxes of pasta or if they make their own sauces in-house, stuff like that. But I, like you said, I really think that, you know, restaurants and cafes being allowed to stay open during this time really shows how, you know, it's an indication of how important their services are to their communities. And it's not just as a source of food, but as a source of comfort and escape from our daily stress. And now it's, you know, restaurants and cafes are allowing everyone to sort of keep a sense of normalcy as they have to make these drastic changes to their lives.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, There's a lot of people out of work and a lot of people in some very bad spots right now, and it's just the beginning. So what's one thing that you've learned from this whole, you know, I mean, we've never lived through, I mean, we've lived through quite a few crises already when you get into 9/11 and, you know, the market's crashing and the recession, but this is definitely a big one. You know, what have you learned from living through now and starting to actually have to adapt financially and responsibly and on a, you know, economically to this?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, restaurant industry right now is being hit one of the hardest out of any other industry. And it's, you know, as far as my company, I feel like our services are more important than ever. And just seeing, one thing I've seen that is just really impressive is how much all these major companies, billion-dollar companies, have come together and reduced their fees, eliminated their fees. You know, they have their staff working through the weekend, through the night, just to support restaurants and help them pivot their entire operation as quickly as possible. Because it could be a short window where, you know, restaurants will have to capture that business, that off-premise business. Mm-hmm. But if they don't do it right away, they may not last for however long this is going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Any tips, any advice you give anyone that's looking to break into the ghost kitchen market to just kind of save or build their brand?
Yeah, I do your research. You know, there's a lot of options out there right now. I think one ghost kitchen brand, you know, temporarily shut down during all this because they were based in New York City. And there's a couple others out there that are still going strong. Just, you know, it has to make sense for you and what you want. Whatever the rent is going to be, the upfront cost as far as equipment, just weigh all that. It could be, you know, I know they're offering shorter term contracts now, month to month or for 3 months rather than the whole year lease. And it could still end up being almost $4,000 a month. So if you can swing that, if you want to prove that concept out through the ghost kitchen, that's one way to do it. And if you have room in your kitchen now, work on your menu, what you already have in house. If you can create a whole new concept out of that menu, if you have a sushi place, you can easily do a poke concept out of there, something like that. Just whatever's going to get you, whatever's going to get you more orders, more customers, and more cash flow right now. If you can sell e-gift cards right now, if you don't already offer gift cards, offer a discount on that, whatever's going to get people going directly to you.
And there's hardly any upfront cost to do this, right?
With Ghost Kitchens, no. The three that we've started on, it was under $1,000 startup. And awesome. For now, you know, we're waiving all the startup fees and the first month licensing fees just so everyone can get going and get a little bit of traction while this is going on.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. Philip, thank you. I appreciate it. It was great having you on. It was really, really great insight. Any final words?
Thank you for having me. You know, I really appreciate being thought of for this, and however I can help, I'm here whenever you need me.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil. I mean, that was a really awesome talk we had. We learned so much. I learned a ton going into how they do the ghost kitchens and great little tips and things like that. Research ghost kitchens yourself. I think there's a lot of great opportunities. I mean, if you have an opportunity to take what you have and not add any additional cost, no additional rent, no additional utilities, anything like that, using these delivery companies like DoorDash and Grubhub, they cover all the insurance. They cover the insurance for the drivers. They pay the drivers. You literally make the food and hand it to them, and you can brand it any way you want. So delivery competition is increasing. I mean, there's really nothing to be said about that. You can go online right now and order McDonald's delivery through Grubhub and Wendy's and all your favorite restaurants. And now with the whole COVID-19 thing, I mean, even the restaurants that you always wanted to deliver are actually delivering now, which, I mean, it's great, but being in Chicago, I can get the Purple Pig delivered to my doorstep. That's a pretty big, you know, plus, especially from a restaurant that you couldn't get into in the past. I mean, Alinea is doing to-go things. There's so many options now. Delivery and to-goes, I mean, that whole game has completely changed, and being able to capitalize on it is so huge. There's a lot of great facts out there that talk about percentages of people actually trusting drive-thrus right now, trusting delivery services. I think that, you know, brick-and-mortar sit-down restaurants are going to have a hard recovery for a while. And what do we do? You know, so looking into these delivery options and trying to get a piece of the pie, it's a low-cost startup, and pretty easy to do. So you got the team, you got the resources, you have the to-go containers and the product. You can build 9 concepts out of what you have on your menu already. So check it out, do some research. I think that it's really, really going to change the industry and how things are happening, because now also more than ever, people are at home and they're eating this food in the comfort of their home. And we, you know, as chefs, we know it's nowhere near the quality they're going to get in the restaurant. I mean, it's just not, it can't travel properly. You know, homemade pasta does not travel properly. A good steak, it's way different coming right off the charbroiler than it is in a container and then traveling a half an hour. But as a consumer, you're looking and saying, you could bring it to me. I can eat it in my PJs while watching TV. I don't have to tip a server. I don't have to, you know, have any kind of rules. I can drink my own wine. I can do all sorts of things. It's definitely going to be a big change in the market. So pay attention to to-go's and pay attention to what's going on, because I know it's going to change things and I know it's going to affect how we do business. And it's already changed. This change was forced and now we're being forced to innovate with it. So see what you could do. Look into some great ideas. And I mean, there's a lot of resources out there online, and even looking at things like Instagram and seeing what kind of meal kits people are putting together and how they're advertising it and how you're marketing what you're doing. Definitely worth looking into. You do some homework on it. There's a lot of great websites out there that talk about these delivery services. The cost is minimal, if any, to get them started up. I've ran a few ghost kitchens and got those started up. Really smooth sailing, really easy to do. The other nice thing is you can limit your hours, you can block them, you can close them at any time. And there's endless opportunity. So anyways, guys, thanks for watching. Stay tuned for the next episode. Leave any comments you have below, any suggestions, anything you guys see that are working. I would love to hear from you, because again, this is one big community and we just want to continue to grow and improve, and how can we make it better? So let's work together. Let's hear from you. And I'll see you soon. Take care.